1772, Section 2, Europe and the Colonization of America. As you read, look for the reasons for European exploration and settlement of North America, Spanish missions along the Atlantic coast, the effect of European contact upon Native American cultures, terms, slave, middleman, immunity, expedition, colony, mission, plantation, backcountry. In the three centuries from 1100 to 1400 AD, many changes took place in Western Europe that put the countries there on the path to the Americas. The Crusades began as a military campaign by Christian Europeans to take Jerusalem and other areas of the land that is holy to Christians, Muslims, and Jews. Over the next 200 years, these wars spurred changes not only in the Middle East, but also in Europe. These changes included a greater desire for trade with Asia and a rebirth of learning and curiosity. Those developments caused even more changes, pushing the Europeans to explore beyond the world they knew. When they discovered an entire hemisphere that they did not know existed, they began to conquer and settle it. This meeting of the Old World and the New World had both positive and negative impacts on both. European exploration and conquest. By the 1400s, European nations began to explore and later conquer other lands. They wanted greater wealth, they sought greater empire and power, and they hoped to spread their religious beliefs to other areas of the world. Some have called these reasons God, gold, and glory. One way for the countries to gain wealth and empire was to increase their trade with both Asia and Africa. Their main interest was trade with Asia, including areas now known as India, China, and the islands of the East Indies. Spices like pepper, along with silk, tea, perfumes, diamonds, and other goods were to be found in the Middle and Far East. Originally, traders had to make the long trip across land from Asia to the Middle East and then through the Mediterranean region. Western Europeans wanted to find a water route for this trade. A water route would eliminate the merchants of the Middle East and, after the Crusades, the Italian merchants who got these goods in the Middle East and sold them at a higher price to other Europeans. A search for new trade routes. While Europeans had long traded with the Muslim North Africans, they were interested in direct trade with Central and West Africa. In the early and mid-1400s, using better designed ships and better ways of finding direction, the Portuguese explored further and further down the coast of West Africa, establishing trade posts as they went. In the mid-1400s, the Portuguese began to trade along the African coast for slaves. Slaves were people who had few rights and who spent their entire lives in service to others. West African society had long had slavery, but most enslaved people, often women, had been captured in a war, owed a debt, or were guilty of a crime. This type of slavery was usually not permanent and did not extend to the enslaved person's children. The Africans who began to sell slaves to European merchants may have thought that they were selling people into the kind of slavery they knew in Africa. Unfortunately for millions of Africans, the slavery that developed after the discovery of the Americas was much different, much harsher, and most of the time permanent. The emerging slave trade also had an impact on African societies as Africans captured other Africans for the trade. In 1488, a few years before Christopher Columbus set sail, the first Portuguese expedition sailed around the tip of Africa to India, discovering the water route to Asia. The other powers of Europe, including the Spanish, French, and English, also wanted to trade with Asia. By the late 1400s, trade had led to the growth of towns and a merchant class. Merchants were the middlemen who bought and sold the goods for a profit that others produced. European countries were developing into stronger nations with central governments ruled by monarchs, kings and queens, who could afford to finance voyages and who wanted to increase their own territories and power. Monarchs got support from the merchants who wanted to increase trade. In turn, they formed armies and, in some cases, navies to protect their merchants. Sailing in the Atlantic Ocean required strong ships that could be steered and that had sails to capture the wind. This led to the development of caravels, small 2- or 3-masted ships that were sturdy enough for traveling the oceans. Columbus's Niña, Pinta, and Santa Maria were caravels. Instruments like the compass to tell direction and the astrolabe, which determined a ship's position at sea by using the stars, made it possible to sail out of the sight of land. All of these developments, the rise of towns, the emergence of a merchant class, the rise of nation-states, and desire for world trade, came together in the late 1400s to make new discovery desirable and possible. It created a generation of explorers. The meeting of different worlds. While the Portuguese continued to explore the eastern Atlantic Ocean, Christopher Columbus set sail for the west. Because of the 1492 voyage of Columbus, the Spanish were the first Europeans to explore and conquer lands in the Americas. Since the Portuguese were also exploring in the Atlantic, the two countries agreed to the Treaty of Tordesillas in 1493 to 1494, which basically divided all newly discovered lands between Spain and Portugal. The Portuguese got all new territory east of the line, and the Spanish got all land west of the line. This meant the Portuguese got much of present-day Brazil, where Portuguese is still the main language. The Spanish controlled the remainder of South America, as well as islands of the Caribbean, Mexico, the rest of Central America, and North America. Although Spain never controlled much of eastern North America, except Florida and southern Georgia, the rest of their large empire brought them great wealth and power. One of the first effects of Spanish contact with the people of the Americas was the exchange that began in biology. Plants and animals began to cross the oceans. Horses, chickens, cows, pigs, and other animals came from the Old World to the Americas, as did sugar, rice, and coffee. Corn, potatoes, tomatoes, and chocolate left the Americas for Europe. All parts of the world benefited from the introduction of new varieties of foods. Other biological transfers were the microscopic germs and viruses that the Europeans brought with them. For thousands of years, Europeans had raised and lived with animals that carry diseases. They had built up immunities, which made their bodies more able to fight the diseases. Even though they still got sick, they usually did not die. The worst diseases that were transferred were smallpox, measles, and influenza. The Native Americans had never been exposed to these viruses and had no natural immunity to them. When everyone in a village came down with a disease such as smallpox, there was no one to nurse the sick or bring them water and food. An entire village could die. Historians estimate that as much as 90% of the population of native peoples in the Americas died out within a century or two of the European arrival, due mainly to disease, but also to war and starvation. This was the largest population loss in written history. The lands and people in the Americas that the Spanish and later other Europeans found were quite different from their own familiar world. Native peoples had customs that seemed strange to them, and of course the Europeans seemed odd to the Native Americans. Since the Europeans saw themselves and their ideas as civilized, they often wrote of the native peoples as uncivilized. One area of disagreement concerned property. Indians believed that the entire tribe owned the goods, territory, and produce of the community together. Europeans believed in individual ownership of goods and property. They had very strict rules about who could own property and how it would be passed down from one generation to the next. Europeans and Native Americans also differed in religion. Europeans were mainly Christian, and Native Americans had many ideas about the divine. These differing ways of living sometimes led to misunderstandings and sometimes a clash of cultures. The early Spanish exploration of Georgia. At first, the Spanish concentrated on conquering and settling the areas south of what today is the United States. They were interested in gold and silver, and the mountains of Central and South America had deposits of those precious metals. The earliest Spanish explorations in North America took place over 20 years after Columbus's first voyage. The expedition of Juan Ponce de Leon came to Florida in 1515 and again in 1521. An expedition is a journey for a specific purpose, such as exploration. Two Spanish ships sailed along Georgia's coast in 1525, and Lucas Vasquez de Leon built a short-lived settlement in what is now South Carolina in 1526. The first major exploration of the Georgia area was not until the spring of 1540, when Spanish explorer Hernando de Soto left Florida with over 600 soldiers and a couple hundred horses in search of riches. De Soto had experience, having been with explorer Francisco Pizarro, who conquered the Inca civilization in what is now Peru. The writings of De Soto's men described the Indian villages along the rivers of Georgia as they traveled west to east. In early March 1540, they entered Georgia, then traveled across the Flint River. Recrossing the river, they encountered the Toa chiefdom. As they crossed Georgia, they came to the Ocmulgee River, where they encountered the Itchizi chiefdom of the Lamar culture. Then they crossed the Oconee River, where they met the Okute Paramount chiefdom, finally coming to the Savannah near Augusta. There they crossed the river, taking the expedition through Carolina, where De Soto found the Cofetachique culture, led by a female the Spanish called the Lady of Cofetachique. From there, they headed into Tennessee before re-entering Georgia in July. They stayed a month at the capital village of the Coosa Paramount chiefdom, which impressed them greatly. Going downriver, they saw the Etowah Mounds. They followed the river to the area near modern-day Rome before eventually crossing into Alabama in September 1540. De Soto found no gold or silver in Georgia. In fact, almost 300 years went by before any gold was discovered in the mountains of North Georgia. The Spanish were not the only Europeans to explore and attempt to settle colonies in North America in the 1500s. A colony is a geographical area controlled by a distant country. The French tried to plant a colony in South Carolina in 1562. When that failed, they built a fort called Caroline near the St. John's River in Florida in 1564. The Spanish had not founded colonies in the area yet, but they did not want the French there. So they sent Pedro Menendez de Avilés to destroy the French colony. Menendez then established the first permanent Spanish settlement in America, St. Augustine, in 1565. Spanish missions in Georgia. After founding St. Augustine, Pedro Menendez went north, exploring the coast. He met an Indian chief named Wally on one of the sea islands off Georgia's coast. He named the whole area for that chief, so Georgia under the Spanish were known as Wally. Juan Pardo and Hernando Boyano were sent to explore the mainland. The Spanish decided that this region would be the northern part of their Florida colony. In the 1560s, they began to set up missions where priests could live and work in major Indian towns. The priests came to convert the Indians to the Christian religion as it was practiced by Catholics and to teach them Spanish customs. These missions each had a church and a house for the Catholic priest. The priest not only worked in the major towns, but also among the people who lived in smaller villages throughout the countryside. The Spanish government, centered in St. Augustine, saw the missions as a way to help control the Indians, including providing Indian workers for the Spanish in return for Spanish goods. The relationship between the Spanish and the Native Americans was not always smooth. By the time the Spanish settled in Georgia, they had abandoned earlier practices in Central and South America, which had made virtual slaves of many Indians in the early Spanish colonies. However, the Spanish did want to change the ways the Indians lived. The Wali people had social customs, for example, that included men being allowed to have more than one wife. The Spanish did not approve of some of the dances and celebrations of the natives or of their practice of revenge. Another problem from the priest's point of view was that the Indians did not stay permanently in one place. Many Indians resented Spanish attempts to end their traditional customs. In 1597, for example, some natives revolted against the Spanish in Georgia, but the revolt was put down. The Spanish mission era began to decline by the middle and late 1600s, in part because the Indian population continued to decrease due to disease. Another problem for the Spanish, however, was the English settlement in what is now South Carolina in 1670. Indians in South Carolina raided villages in Georgia to capture Indians to sell to the English as slaves. By 1685, the missions in Georgia were gone as the Spanish retreated further to the south. The northern boundary of the Spanish Empire in the southeast became today's Florida. French exploration and colonization. With Spain getting wealthy from its empire, the other European nations wanted to acquire land and wealth in the Americas as well. In the early 1500s, France sent explorers and tried unsuccessfully to plant colonies north of the Spanish in Florida. They began to go farther north into the North Atlantic. Fishermen from Europe were already fishing the coastal waters there. In the 1520s, a French expedition explored the North American coast from North Carolina to Maine. A few years later, the French sent expeditions further north, thinking there might be a water route through North America to the Pacific Ocean. If they could find such a route, they could trade with Asia by going through North America rather than having to sail around the tip of Africa. Unfortunately, there was no Northwest Passage. However, their voyages later led the French to claim Canada and the Great Lakes area. The first permanent French settlement was Quebec on the St. Lawrence River, founded in 1608, followed years later by Montreal in 1642. French settlement was funded by a company, not by the government as Spain's was. Further exploration in the 1600s took the French to the head of the Mississippi River and then down that river to the Gulf of Mexico. By the late 1600s, the French had founded Biloxi, now in Mississippi, and Mobile, now in Alabama. In 1718, they established the city of New Orleans. While the French did not find gold in Canada or the Mississippi Valley, they established a very profitable fur trading business with the Native Americans. This resulted in French alliances with the Indians of the lower Mississippi River area, especially the Choctaw. Although much farther away from Georgia than Florida, the potential for problems with the French Indians was another defense consideration for the Georgia colony in the 1700s. English exploration and colonization. In 1558, Elizabeth became Queen of England. Elizabeth was more tolerant on religious issues between the Catholic Church and the Church of England than those before her. Under Elizabeth, England became more prosperous and stable. She built a larger navy and gave permission to found colonies. In the 1580s, two colonies were established by one of Elizabeth's favorite nobles, Sir Walter Raleigh. He tried to settle in what is now North Carolina. The first colonist returned home. The second colony had disappeared by the time anyone came back to check on it. It has become known as the Lost Colony. A war with Spain interrupted further colonization until the early 1600s. In 1607, England established its first permanent colony in America in Jamestown, Virginia. Like Spain and France, England hoped the colonies would bring it riches and power. Throughout the 1600s, the English settled most of the area between the Spanish in Florida and the French in Canada. The Dutch settled the area in the Hudson River Valley, calling it New Netherlands, and establishing a thriving port that they called New Amsterdam at the mouth of the river. In the 1640s, England suffered through a civil war that resulted in the end of the monarchy from 1649 to 1660. In 1660, King Charles II restored the monarchy with the help of several English nobles. He began to reward those supporters by granting them colonies in America. After taking the territory of New Netherlands from the Dutch, he gave it to his brother, the Duke of York. The area was renamed New York, and its busy port became New York City. Carolina. In the 1660s, a very large land grant south of Virginia went to 8 English gentlemen, many of whom had already had some colonial experience in the English island colonies, including Barbados. They named the colony, from its boundary with Virginia in the north to its southern boundary right above Florida, Carolina. In 1670, these men founded a settlement where two rivers came together, and they named it Charles Town. Settlers moved to the portion of Carolina that is now South Carolina and established plantations, large farms. They hoped to grow sugar as they had in Barbados. The Carolina planters brought slaves with them to do the work. The settlers also allied with Indians in the area who helped them raid Indian villages in Spanish Florida. Those captured in the raids became slaves whom the Carolinians sold in the island colonies. Traders moved into the backcountry, the land away from the coast, of the South Carolina colony and became involved in the fur trade with the Indians who lived in Carolina south of the Savannah River. Some of the traders had Indian wives with whom they had children. The impact of the contact with the English began to change Native American culture. The Indians began to use English tools and fight and hunt with English-made guns. Eventually, they came to depend on those items. However, relations between the Indians and the settlers began to worsen. In the 1680s, the Westo, or Westaboo, who lived along the Savannah River at the fall line, were driven from the Carolina-Georgia area with help from the Savannah Indians. In 1692, the Carolinians established a trading post called Savannah Town on the north side of the river. The Savannah Indians, after whom the river is named, moved from the area in the first decade of the 1700s, in spite of attempts by Carolina's governor to get them to stay. The Yamasee Indians in the Carolina backcountry rebelled in 1715 because they did not think they were being treated fairly. They were defeated and retreated to Florida, where they became known to the English as Spanish Indians. After this, the Carolinians felt very exposed on their southern frontier. They built Fort Moore at Savannah Town and invited the Chickasaw Indians to settle in the area as protection. A small band led by Squirrel King came to the area around 1723 on the Carolina side of the river. Most Chickasaw, however, remained near the Mississippi River. By the 1700s, the Native Americans in the region included mainly the Creek, the largest group in central and south Georgia, and the Cherokee, whose territory was in the northern portions of Georgia, what is now western Carolina and Tennessee. The Creek were actually a loosely organized confederation of many towns divided into two groups, the Lower Creek and the Upper Creek. Their culture, and that of the Cherokee, was from the Mississippian period. They hunted, planted corn and other crops, lived in villages with permanent dwellings, and traded, sometimes over long distances. Their pathways connected Georgia from east to west and north to south. By the 1720s, the Native Americans who lived west and south of the Savannah River were familiar with the English and their ways. Meanwhile, a group of men in England had ideas for further settlement. A new English colony was about to be born. Reviewing the section, 1. Define middleman, immunity, colony, mission. 2. What areas did France eventually claim in North America? 3. What was the main purpose of the Spanish missions along the Georgia coast? Page 183, Discovering Georgia's Past. Juanillo's Revolt. Along with the Spanish soldiers to conquer the land came missionaries to try to convert the Native Americans to Christianity. Conversion also involved changing from the native culture to the customs and moral ideas of the Spanish. The missionaries thought they were helping the Indians. This often created tension between the two groups, as many Indians wanted to keep their own customs and did not like the missionaries telling them how to live. This was the case in the coastal area of Georgia known to the Spanish as Wally. By the late 1500s, Georgia's coast had dozens of Spanish missions. Some of the Wally Indians resented Spanish interference. For several years, the friction had been growing between the Wally and the Franciscan friars who ran the missions. Juanillo was a young member of the Wally Indians who was set to become one of their micos, or leaders. He did not, however, follow all the customs that the Spanish missionaries encouraged. The missionary father, Pedro de Corpa, criticized Juanillo. He then interfered to have an older Wally, who was more accepting of Spanish ways, made mico instead of Juanillo. Angry at his treatment and supported by others unhappy with the Spanish, Juanillo led a revolt, hoping to push the Spanish out of the area and be free of their customs. De Corpa and four other missionaries were killed. One, Father Francisco de Avila, was captured and tortured. Avila refused to testify against the Indians, but he later wrote the account of what had happened. The Spanish responded to the revolt by destroying many Indian villages and burning their crops. Following that, the Spanish began to rebuild their power. In the early 1600s, the Spanish governor came to Wally from Florida to check on Spanish progress. Spain was once again in control and would remain so until the settlement of Carolina began to push the Spanish Indians and Spanish soldiers and missionaries out of Georgia. Page 184, Chapter Review, Chapter Summary, Section 1, Georgia's First People. Scientists group the early peoples into four cultures: Paleo-Indian, Archaic, Woodland, and Mississippian. Pottery was invented during the Archaic period. The woodland people developed horticulture. The primary crops grown were corn, squash, and beans. Both the woodland and Mississippian peoples built mounds and stone effigies. The Kalamaki, Etowah, and Okmulgee sites are the best examples of mound building in Georgia. Section 2, Europe and the Colonization of America. By the 1400s, European countries were looking for new routes to get to the riches of the Middle and Far East. Many countries explored the New World, including Spain, France, and England. Foodstuffs and animals were exchanged between the Old World and the New World to the benefit of both. Unfortunately, Europeans also brought disease to the New World, for which the native peoples had no immunity. Millions died. In 1540, Hernando de Soto, a Spanish explorer, traveled through present-day Georgia during his expedition to search for gold. The Spanish founded the first permanent European settlement in America in 1565 at present-day St. Augustine, Florida. The Spanish established missions along the Georgia barrier islands and coast to convert the Indians to Christianity. By 1685, however, the Spanish had abandoned the missions and retreated to Florida. French exploration and settlement of America focused on Canada and the lands drained by the Mississippi River. The English settled along the Atlantic coast between the French in Canada and the Spanish in Florida. The first permanent English settlement in America was Jamestown in 1607. In the 1660s, the English king gave his supporters a large land grant south of Virginia, which they named Carolina. This land grant included the area that today we know as Georgia. Pages 184 and 185 contain a chapter review of Chapter 8.